Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. Today, we continue in our study of the New Testament letter of 1 John, and we want to closely consider verse 4 of chapter 3. But for the sake of context, I'll start today by reading verses 4 through 10. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Now, in this section, the phrase practice of sinning or keeps on sinning is used 6 times. So we get the idea that something important is on the Apostle John's mind. And what John is concerned with is the issue of people claiming to be Christians, but then continuing to revel in sin and continuing to practice their sin as if they are under no moral obligation to God. One of the primary things on the Apostle John's mind in this whole letter is the issue of genuine faith. John wants to equip his readers so that we can identify the distinction between true believers and those who falsely profess faith in Christ. One of our observations from the letter of 1 John is that John gives some tests by which a person's claim to salvation can be verified. In chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, John rejects the idea of perfectionism. In chapter 2, John argues that no matter what a person might claim to believe, if that person does not obey Christ's commands and live righteously, they are not a true believer. In this section, the Apostle John continues to argue against the false teachers. Those false teachers minimized and even denied the significance of sin, and John will not have any of it. Sin is real, and it destroys life. Sin is rebellion against God, and John will not tolerate the idea that people can be friends with sin while at the same time claiming to be followers of Christ. No way. Now, genuine Christians do have a sin nature. When we're born again, sin is not eradicated from our lives. We're given a new nature, and through the power of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can overcome sin. Over time, we progressively sin less. But the sin nature remains. When we do sin, we need to confess our sin to God and repent. John has already made that clear in chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 9, and in chapter 2, verse 1. Even though the sin nature remains in us, the power of God enables us to sin less. We sin less because we have a new internal built-in check that guards us against the practice of reveling in sin. In verse 4, the Apostle John says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness." Now that phrase, a practice of sinning, is so important. That phrase means habitual. Habitual, as in doing something out of a habit, doing something in regular daily practice. A thought, an action, or a word that's done habitually is a regular pattern in a person's life. It's a part of their lifestyle. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, and the verses following do not refer to the person who stumbles in sin, the person who struggles with sin or falls because of a struggle with a certain sin. It refers to a person who blatantly, habitually, joyfully, and continually practices sin. Christians will sin. We'll stumble in our walk of faith and we will sin, but we don't habitually, continually, return to delight ourselves in the same old sin patterns. Again, Christians are called to confess our sin to God and repent of it and walk in newness of life. Christians are called to walk in holiness. We're called to walk in righteousness. We're called to live in godliness. As I say, we're called to walk in newness of life. Christians are called to be in the habit of actively and gradually growing to be more and more like Jesus Christ in our moral and ethical behavior. All right. A habitual practice is something that's done second nature. Now let's think about this. John says that everyone who habitually sins is habitually in lawlessness. John has in mind the person who sins and keeps on sinning and keeps on enjoying their sin and keeps on reveling and enjoying and holding on to the same old sin. They sin, keep on sinning, and they enjoy it. Too often, when we think of sin, we think of the scandalous types of sins that grab the latest news headlines. We may think of sin in terms of murder or the sinister behaviors of a big crime syndicate. We may think of the criminals who smuggle drugs or those involved in human trafficking. We may think of those who mug and rob innocent people, or we may think of the sinful ways people use their bodies. When it comes to sin, we have a natural tendency to think of the great wickedness of the other person's sin while at the same time ignoring our own sin. The New Testament is filled with helpful instruction on what God considers to be sin. And in the New Testament, we do in fact find that God has expectations of His people, expectations of righteous, moral, and ethical living. We could think of many examples, but one can be found in the New Testament letter of James. In James chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, we read this. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So, clearly, James thinks that Christians ought to be mindful of the words, the language we use. We all know that we can use words to inflict great harm on other people, and we know that the sins of the tongue are almost limitless. Now, this issue of sin with the tongue is just one example, but it's a good example of the habitual practice of sinning that the Apostle John has in mind in 1 John chapter 3. It's a good example of the very human problem of minimizing our own tendency to habitually practice sin. We, the followers of Jesus, need to be mindful of the words we use. Could it be that the words we use fall into the category of the habitual practice of sinning? What about the habitual use of profanity? What about the habitual use of words that cut down whole groups of people, shame them, or belittle them? What about habitually using God's name in vain, using the name of God, the name of Jesus, without due reverence, without the respect the name deserves? What about the use of slang? Too often, slang words are just close substitutes for profanity. A person may know that profanity is out of line, so they'll just use slang words. But the thought behind it is equally profane. A person may conveniently claim that profanity was not used, but the real question is, what was going through the mind of that person? Were attitudes of profanity filling the mind of that person? What about gossip, using words to tear down a person? What about lying? What about rude or inflammatory words? What about twisting or misrepresenting the words and intentions of other people? As we use words do our words honor God or do they dishonor God? Do our words build others up or do they weaken others? Let's think about it this way. If Jesus were to walk into the room, would we continue using our habitual language practices? Well, you get the idea. My point is that there may be some sins that we are too comfortable with, sins that we habitually enjoy and don't even realize it. When it comes to the idea of habitual sinning, each of us will need to do some serious reflection on what's going on in our own heart. Now, the Apostle John says that the person who makes a practice of sinning practices lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Next time, we'll think more about habitual sinning and living in lawlessness. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.